Welcome to Stock Talk, the new Stockhouse podcast series that brings you behind-the-scenes insights into trending topics from capital markets, influencers, and entrepreneurs, broadcasting from the heart of the financial district in beautiful downtown Vancouver.
Everyone wishes they could invest in legendary minds, but rarely do you ever get the chance. Welcome to Stock Talk. I'm Omri Wallach, and today we're looking at one of those legendary mines and the exploration company that is bringing it back to life. The mine, Austria's sleeping silver giant Obertshiring, once known as the mother of Vienna, and the company, Richmond Minerals Inc., which has also been developing its Ridley Lake Gold project in Ontario. But how do you bring back a legendary mine? And how do you capitalize on historical and adjacent success? Joining us today to break down Richmond Minerals' impressive plans is the company's exploration manager, Warren Hawkins. Thank you very much for joining us today, Warren.
Thanks, Omri. Appreciate it.
No worries. Let's get right into it, Warren. When the company acquired the Obertshiring polymetallic project in Austria, it acquired a mine so well known that it has an actual historical name, which is rare in this field. What is the story there?
Yeah, in November of 2019, we announced the agreement to acquire Obertshiring. The project is located in the mineral-rich region of Styria in the central part of Austria. It's located about 120 kilometers to the southeast of Salzburg and about 85 kilometers to the northwest of Graz. It covers the southeastern slopes of the Walser Tarn, which is west of the large postal fault zone, and comprises 99 granted claims surrounding Obertshiring, covering an area of approximately 35 square kilometers. The history of the mine, or the Obertshiring mine, is quite extensive. You can trace silver mining in the Upper Poles area back to the 1000 BC. Obertshiring in the ancient times is one of the largest silver mines of the Eastern Alps. In the 1300s, the mine was granted the minting right to coin the Zeiringer Pfennig, which was the coin, I guess you could say, was the equivalent now to the loonie in Canada. That was what was used in Austria back in those in that time. Within that area, there were at least 10 silver smelters, which were processing rich silver ore and high silver containing lead, with locally high values of gold as well. Through the high profits from these mining deposits, the construction of many of the historical and ancient buildings of Vienna was made possible by way of getting financed, you know, through the silver profits from Obertshiring. And of course, Zeiring and the region got the honorary name of the Mother of Vienna, which it's known to this day by. In the year 1361, the mining ended abruptly because of a sudden and unexpected flooding event at a depth of about 60 meters underground. This flooding event killed about 1,400 miners at the time. This tragic accident is documented in several historical records and is depicted in a medieval mural in the hall of the Maximilian Castle in Unterzeiring. The event is also documented in the inscription of the map of Noricum, which is available for public view, scrutiny, and is located in the Regional Library of Graz. That was in 1360, and ever since that point in time, there have been many attempts historically to dewater the mine. But, you know, obviously the technology back in those days did not exist such as we have today. So the mine has more or less been dormant since that time. However, there were some small-scale mining took place at the end of the 18th century, and around 1816, there was some mining of larger quantities of silver containing galena noted in historical documents. And then, of course, the austerity periods of the First World War and then the Second World War, the intervening austerity periods. Post-war times, there was no mining going on in Germany and in Austria, of course. And so the last bit of recorded mining in our Obertshiring property was in 1959, where some barite, which is an industrial mineral, was also mined there. There's quite a rich history of polymetallic occurrences on the property as well. So we're quite excited about that.
Warren, you know, you mentioned that history plays a big role in Obertshiring, but this is still very much a modern market play. What are some of the highlights you found from the group of claims?
Yeah, so when we did our due diligence, when we acquired the mine prior to the announcement in November of 2019, we found a number of interesting results, you know, of historical sampling in the region. Outside of the Oberzeyring mine, there's at least 50 or more artisanal mines along the same structural corridor where the mine is hosted. So there's been some historical data and collection of assay results, and there are high grades were reported. The Technical University of Vienna yielded values of local sampling, which graded 930 grams per ton, 850 grams per ton, and 1,250 grams per ton silver, and all is actually occasionally over 1,000 grams per ton silver in galena. These samples were collected by the university in the Westfield area of our property. A sample from the peer group, which is the middle field, returned silver in galena values of 832 grams per ton and 956 grams per ton. Both samples also carried 5 grams per ton gold. A sample of galena analyzed in 1962 by, forgive my pronouncement here, but it's Scheidenstahl-Wien returned 315.5 grams per ton silver and 2.5 grams per ton gold. The former mining entrepreneur, engineer R. Hearn, in connection with the mining of barite, reported a sample from the Oatfield area of the property of 114 grams per ton gold and 1,106 grams per ton silver, as well as a sample of marcasite, which yielded another sample from a different area, yielded 80 grams per ton gold. So some very, very high values were reported, you know, in the gathering of our research data prior to closing this deal with a vendor. So we've got some very good indications of high-grade silver mineralization within the property area and the mine area, and also the artisanal mines, which cover at least a 4 kilometer strike length south of the Oberzeyring mine. So we're very excited about that.
Those are some very strong results. And of course, the big question, especially with Oberzeyring essentially sleeping right under everyone's noses for so long, how does the company bring the Mother of Vienna mine back to life? How do you do it?
You know, in the history of this property, there's really never, been any modern exploration work done on the property with today's modern techniques. What we're planning to do is use these modern techniques. We're going to be using a lot of geophysical techniques, MAG and the new IP surveys, to delineate these areas around these artisanal mines and the area immediately south of the Oberzeyring mine. In particular, we're going to do geochemical aerial soil surveys. We're going to be mapping there's many mine dumps in the region. We're going to be mapping those. That's never been done before. Of course, while we're mapping, we're going to be sampling those mine dumps. We're going to be using, as of course I mentioned, geophysical surveying, and we're going to compile all the regional data that is available to us so we can get a structural analysis done so we can delineate drilling targets. We hope to have all this done during this summer, with the view to begin the testing of these targets, delineated targets, by the end of August or early September. So there'll be data compilation, and we plan in numerous drilling of these targets. Also, there is there's an underground decline just south of the mine site, which was it's about 600 meters long, which was undertaken. To allow access to the flooded part of the 1360 mine workings. It's in excellent condition. We've actually inspected the top part of it. And so what we want to do is also get in there, dewater where we need to, and perhaps we'll have direct access to the historical silver mineralization there. And so we plan on doing some underground drilling, sampling, and possibly even a little bit of downhole surveying of drill holes with downhole geophysical techniques. We've got a lot of work ahead of us, but we're very confident that we're going to identify some very good targets and potentially have some good drilling results in the fall.
Well, a lot of work ahead, but also a lot to be excited about. And even moving forward to the Canadian side, you know, Richmond Minerals has, some investors will know, another historically prosperous project in Ontario, really like gold.
Yeah, that's right. We have two core focuses, obviously. Now we have the Oberzeyring project, which we've just described. And the Ridley Lake Project, we've had in our stable, there's a long history with the Ridley Lake Project. It was initially staked and drilled in mid-80s. In 1989, they did a drill campaign. They encountered broad zones of gold mineralization. And then it got, without getting into too much detail, it got dragged into a lawsuit, which lasted 24 years, and finally got resolved in Richmond's favor in 2014. It was a tracing claim. There was a kind of a lien placed on the titles to the mining claims, which the lien got removed in 2014. The property got returned back to us, and we were able to resume the drilling program that got halted in 1989. The project is located in the Swayze Greenstone Belt. It consists of 196 contiguous unpatented mining claims, and which Richmond owns 100%. It's about 40 kilometers southwest of the town of Folliette and 120 kilometers southwest of Timmins. We've done a number of drill campaigns there since 2014, and we've continued to obtain wide zones, of low-grade gold mineralization with intervening intervals of higher-grade material. In 2015, one of the highlights was we had 55 meters of 0.46 grams per ton. We had 87 meters of 0.39 grams per ton. In 2016, we drilled 33 meters of 1.26 grams per ton, including an interval of 7 grams of 4.1 grams per ton. And further down the hole, we had a meter of 7.6 grams per ton and another meter of 11.3 grams per ton. Fall of 2017, we announced our final round of drill results, up until now, of course, of 136 meters in hole 30 of 0.31 grams per ton, which included 18 meters of 1.3 grams per ton and another interval of 3 meters of 2.9 grams per ton. So this is all from the Agora zone. We've since the 2017 drilling, we've conducted further IP surveying, which extended the Agora zone from these last holes that I mentioned, another 600 meters to the west. One of the best IP anomalies we found there is on the last line of the last survey we did. We have a broad zone, starts at about 200 meters deep, and it appears to be another very wide zone, although it has yet to be drilled. It's got all the right signatures, which we're looking for here. We're a high conductivity, a low resistivity due to the carbonate alteration. It's pretty typical alteration product for this part of the Greenstone Belt, which hosts gold mineralization. It's got the right geophysical signature. So we want to follow up on that target with diamond drilling also simultaneously at the end of May. With Oberzeiring, we're going to start work as well at the end of May. And we want to do probably about 2,000 meters of drilling at Ridley Lake. That'll be our next phase of work as well. So we're very excited about the prospects we may be getting here.
Well, and speaking of prospects, Warren, you mentioned that Ridley Lake Gold is located on that Swayze Greenstone Belt in North Central Ontario. Yeah. This area has seen a lot of success, both historically and recently. Can you elaborate a bit on that area's success?
Yeah, obviously, there's been two significant discoveries there and acquisitions in the past few years. Côté Lake by AIM Gold and the Borden Lake discovery. Côté Lake is about 40 kilometers on the east side of us, and Borden Lake Gold discovery is about 37 kilometers west of us. We believe we're in the same structural corridor as those discoveries and acquisitions. And we have about 4 kilometers of strike length of this, what they call the right-out shear zone. And interest is recently, actually only a couple of weeks ago, Rockridge Resources, which is right next door to us, they announced a nice intersection on the same trend as what we believe we're on. They announced a 28-gram intersection over a 6-meter interval. That hole was collared on their property about 550 meters west of our western property boundary, and we're contiguous with Rockridge there. Rockridge, they commented that this intersection comes from a broad alteration zone, same thing we've been finding, that hosts mineralization and is open for expansion. They also claim, I'm reading here from their news release, that the historic mapping and surface sampling data show that the alteration zone may extend over several hundred meters with no diamond drilling completed over a large extent of this corridor. So, you know, they're finding what we're finding. There's a lot of gold mineralization there over wide zones, and some of these intervals within these wide lower grade zones are very high grade. That's not dissimilar from what a probe initially found too at Borden Lake. So we're very excited about this prospect, you know, and given the fact that it was put on hold for 24 years, it's still wide open for exploration potential. And given these new developments, the 24-year delay kind of works out for us in a way. So management at Richmond is very excited about the Ridley project.
Warren, you touched a bit on the operations and kind of your focus moving forward. I just wanted to step back for a second and kind of ask for your general outlook for Richmond Minerals and the company's future, both in 2020 and beyond. You know, with the market starting to strengthen and you have these two really solid projects, what is the general outlook? What's next?
Well, you know, obviously we're an exploration company. So clearly our future is going to be based mostly entirely on what kind of exploration results we can produce. You know, also, of course, to a certain degree on the tone of the overall junior market and commodity prices, particularly precious metal prices, which are, you know, obviously recently given the government stimulus and, you know, the pandemic and the government, you know, it's going to create what I believe to be a somewhat inflationary environment. And that's, of course, good for precious metals. So we're hopeful in that long term aspect that we'll be seeing generally improving market conditions with regard to precious metals and prices, commodity prices. You know, we've got a good solid base in Austria of shareholders. We've got a lot of interest from the local, the country of Austria. They don't have many exploration projects on the go. But yet they have a lot of historical resource assets that have never really been looked at, as we talked about earlier, with modern exploration work. So we're getting a lot of support from the Austrian community and the European area. There's a lot of renewed interest in developing local resources, given what's going on in the whole broader world thing right now. We've already established a strong shareholder base in Austria. We look to grow that. We just finished financing a lot of the previous financing, which we announced in January and closed to accompany this acquisition, was more or less and almost entirely European based. And so we're building our shareholder base there, and we're confident we can raise the adequate capital we need. Well, obviously, these projects are going to be expensive, but we're confident we can get the capital raised and build shareholder value.
Speaking of that shareholder value and that big shareholder base, Warren, before we sign off, we always have to ask, what can you tell our investor audience interested in Richmond Minerals stock right now?
We've just announced on May the 19th that we're going to do another round of financing here. We're doing a private placement of units. We're looking to raise up to $800,000 Canadian. So it's smallish financing right now, but we don't want to dilute too much. But we need to get some money raised so we can take up these first phase initiatives that's open to the public, obviously. And we're very excited about our future. And it's been very tough in the exploration industry for the first part of this year. But we're allowed to get in the field right now and do our work. And that's what we're planning on doing.
Awesome. Well, good luck. And Warren, thank you for the insight. And thanks again for joining us today.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
We've been speaking today with the exploration manager of Richmond Minerals, Inc., Warren Hawkins. I'd like to thank him, of course, for taking the time to join us on Stock Talk to discuss the Mother of Vienna Oberzeyring project, the Ridley Lake Gold project in Ontario, and where Richmond Minerals is headed. I'm Omri Wallach for Stockhouse Media, and this has been your latest Stock Talk. Thanks for listening.
Just a reminder to follow us on social media at Stockhouse for the latest updates on all your favorite public companies in North America. For more in-depth coverage, industry news, and to connect with our active investor community, you can visit our website at stockhouse.com. Also, don't forget to visit our new and improved Stockhouse Dealroom on site for unique and exclusive private placement opportunities only available on stockhouse.com.